And I just want to throw it out there. Maybe there's something God has called you for, to be part of a church plant in the future. Not all of us, praise God, are called to be to be pastors or to be in the fivefold ministry. That's a good thing. Okay, but the thing, the amazing thing is it's a team effort. So there's already there are people there that have been in the community. There are people that have moved there to Hermanus, and I want to encourage you to pray around these lines. Lord, where are you taking me and my family? Are you calling us to be a part of a church plant somewhere? Has God given you a heart for a specific area? Hermanus is a great place, but maybe he's called you to a more difficult place. I see Emil and them maybe have also a conviction that Hermanus might be the place. Or Kazakhstan. That's a close second. Any case. But let's continue to pray for them. And also for Clinton and Anne. They're doing really well. But it's tough to break the ground in a big city like that. So let's continue to pray for them. This morning we're going to look, because this forms part of our community seminar, we're going to look at a little bit of who we are as a body, who we are as a church. And I want to encourage you, even if you've heard this many times before, you think you know what I'm going to say, just trust God to receive from the Lord this morning, to see something of His heart for us as a body and us as a church. It was really such an incredible blessing to be at the conference. And I wanted to do it this morning, but I think I'll have to, because of time, do it another time. But I want to show you some video clips from the conference that we were at recently. And it was called Convergence. And there were some... Hannah joined us there in South Africa. Hannah, how was it? Any good? Okay, we'll get you to share some time. And we had a couple also from Wimbledon going through to join us there. And I really encourage you that... It's something that if you have the faith for that, to set out your faith, either to work out your year planner in such a way that if you do like an annual South Africa trip, that it falls over that time, or if you don't have an annual South Africa trip like a few of us or many of us, trust God to join us next year. It was incredible. The theme was convergence, and it was amazing to see the people that God brought together from all over. Literally all over the world. The speakers came, from America to the Middle East to Europe. What was it? Yes. And we had from Anglican priests ministering, Anglican theologians, to all the way across the spectrum to charismatic believers and charismatic theologians, and then all the way to the other side to we had NGO Dominee coming to minister to us. And amazing to see how this Holy Spirit ministers in it all converged, it all made sense. It was one message. There were a few main things that the Holy Spirit was saying through this incredible diverse range of speakers from all walks of life, all different backgrounds. Such a blessing to see that unity in the body. And I want to really encourage you to put out your faith to, even if you're not able to yourself, maybe to make a contribution to someone else going next year. Okay. All right. So let's retreat from Psalm 92, verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Before I continue with that, let me just give us a little bit of background on what we're talking about, especially for those that haven't got the background. Our Spiritual Growth Series is a series that we do that is a foundational series. It lays the foundations of faith, of what we believe. Yesterday we had this perspective seminar which deals with our relationship with God, deals with how we relate to the Father, how we relate also through the Father, through Jesus Christ, and also in terms of our relationship with the Holy Spirit, basics of our faith. But I've experienced, even years after being born again, doing the courses, incredible blessing and incredible foundations laid in my life. community today, we deal with our relationship with the body of Christ. We deal with how we relate to not only Christ, but the body. So how do we relate to church? What does it mean in today's age? And then we also speak specifically about us. So far, where do we come from? What are we all about? And what do we feel God has called us to do? Legacy, I mentioned before. And then liberty comes after that. Liberty is about walking in the freedom for which Christ has set us free. And it's always very exciting. It's in a worship context, so we spend a lot of time worshiping. And it's all about, you know, getting to grips with the principles of how do we walk in the freedom that Christ has bought for us on the cross. Because we hear about it a lot. We hear about the freedom. But how do we actually apply that in our lives? And on that weekend, we trust God for deliverance from generational curses, from all kinds of bondages and cycles in our lives. And not only deliverance, but to be equipped to continue to walk in that. And to, on a daily basis, be able to enforce the victory of the cross in our lives and in our community. And then share is the part where we, as I say, turn our faith up inside out. And we learn to share our faith with someone else. We learn to pray a little, you know, kind of get over that first fear of ministering to somebody, trusting God to flow in the gift of the Spirit to minister to somebody. So that's kind of a, and that doesn't have to happen right at the end. Okay, we probably are hopefully going to have one in December, but it's just a place of a platform of practicing how to be an outward focused Christian and how to really walk in the Great Commission. Amen. So if you've done it before, or if you haven't done it, or if you're busy going through the seminars, please make time to get around to them. And if you know somebody that needs foundations of faith in their lives, please invite them. This is not only for Shofar members, okay? Specifically the first one is anybody can come, anybody can join, and can have those foundations laid in their lives. Now, why is it important to connect with the body of Christ? And that's where we come to Psalm 92. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And a while ago, we looked at this picture of us being planted, being looking, you know, the word, the psalmist comparing us, and actually often in the scripture we see us being compared to trees and plants and things, but here specifically talked about planted in the house. And we looked at how the health of a tree, and Ian will be able to tell you, he's a bit of an expert on those things, how the health of the tree or plant depends on, you know, very much on the soil it's in. By the way, if you need any landscaping done or any of that, Ian is your man, and he really knows what he's doing, and I want to encourage you to get him in there. And we looked at how important it is for us to be planted in a local church, in a local body. And that's why, you know, it's interesting in days like in these days, there's such a lot of church happening on television. I don't know if you've noticed online. You can have church online. You can sit in your living room and you can go, you know, attend a service in America or wherever, anywhere in the world you want to. And I see the value of that as an outreach tool, but in terms of you know, being planted in a local body, it's not the same. And it's interesting how many people these days have been hurt in church. It's not interesting, it's very sad. Have been hurt in church, have been offended, and want to have a relationship with Jesus, but don't want nothing to do with his body. Do you agree that kind of relationship is off to a bad start? If you've ever had any kind of relationship and you're interested in only this part of the person but not the rest, do you agree that there are problems? Okay. Yes, I'm kind of joking about it, but it's not funny. But in the same way, we can't have a relationship with Christ the head and not with his body. If we try to do that, we end up having a lustful relationship because we're kind of saying, no, we want this, but we don't want that, we like that. And Christ... And that's not going to work. Christ is coming back for his bride. I mean, not a harem, not many different bits, one bride. Amen. Okay, so it's important for us to be planted in a local church and to be rooted, to be in a place where we can grow, where we can flourish, where we can bear fruit that will bring glory to the Father. And then we need to be firmly planted. Plants don't move around often. When I came back from holiday, they were all still there in my garden. They didn't desert us, although I neglected them. They are. Plants stay. They stay where you plant them. In the same way, we need to be planted where God plants us. He does the planting. He's the gardener. It's not for us. It's not for the plant to decide where it wants to be. Okay. So that's one of those things where, you know, it's sometimes difficult for us that our human rights aren't so big on God's agenda. But He knows what's the best place for you. He knows if you need a bit of shade. He knows, you know, that some plants need to be in the sun. Some need to be sheltered. He knows exactly where you need to be planted, where you and I need to be planted. And so that's why we need to hear from God. And I know I'm preaching to the converted this morning. But if you know somebody that doesn't understand this principle, please encourage them. Just in terms of a little bit of background about Shofar, Pastor Fred and Lucille planted the first Shofar congregation in Stellenbosch. It's a little smallish town in the Cape Town area in Western Cape in South Africa in 1992. At the conference, one of the ministers was preaching on, I'll get it wrong if I have to try and remember which it was, probably with more than one, but talking about us becoming the message. If we talk about being prophetic, and that's actually part of our mandate, it's often we see this in the Old Testament a lot. We see the prophets getting up to all kinds of weird things because they were living the message. And I thought about this the other day. Pastor Fred and Lucille, really, they were the message at that stage. For those of you who don't know them, Pastor Fred is a colored man, and Pastor Lucille is of Afrikaans background, so she's blonde and blue-eyed and everything. But at that stage in South Africa, their relationship was, actually their marriage would have been illegal. Okay, they were going to get married, and it was still illegal to have a cross-cultural marriage. And then just before the date, I believe, which was the Lord's doing, but they changed the law, and they could get married. But in the town where a lot of the roots of apartheid a lot of the stuff that started apartheid came from there. A lot of the people that were behind it were all educated there. In that town, Pastor Fred and Lucille were called to be the message, to say this, you know, to be different, to be the message of God, of redemption and of reconciliation. In any case, but that struck me the other day. And they started there with a lot of intercession. If you haven't listened to Lucille's session from the camp in August, please do that. Just will give you a bit of insight about our mandate to intercede. Lots of missions, lots of church planting. Developed some tools for us to along with other leaders, some tools for discipleship. That's why we have the Spiritual Growth Series and Bible School, etc. And now I think we're around 25 churches in Southern Africa and the UK. And it's amazing what God has done over these 20 years. It's been 20 years now. So that's just a little bit of background. And let's look a little bit at Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. And such a powerful piece here that, to be honest with you, in my early walk as a Christian, this was a major lack in my life. I was born again, and I was then, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was water baptized. I was growing as a Christian. I was still at school, but really zealous for God. But I didn't know that you had to be planted in a church. Didn't know that you had to commit to. I didn't know about submitting to authority. I didn't understand that there's a vision or something, a purpose And I didn't really get that. And this thing, there was never this the vision of that, you know, God's vision for the local body that I embraced, anything like that. And that meant that my spiritual walk was actually quite erratic and a little bit chaotic, and there wasn't much fruit in terms of stuff that would glorify God. But when I came to a place of being planted in a body, when I got this, you know, got realized the first time, oh, there's a place where I need to actually submit myself under authority and into a local church so that I can be discipled, so that I can grow, so that I can walk in the purpose of God for me and for the local body, and my part in the local body had a drastic change in my life. And for the first time, I could run with God. Where before it was literally chaos, you know, this way a bit and that way a bit and up and down and this way and that way. For the first time now, I could run in a focused way. I could see that's where God is taking us as a church, and this is how I fit into it. I could pursue the purpose of God, not only for in my, you know, my part in the local body, but also I could pursue, Lord, where do you want me to be as an individual? And that also brought a major change. As you know, I was, believe me if you know, I was studying to be an engineer and a test pilot. But the Lord had different plans. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the thing here is, make it visible. Okay, write the vision. Make it visible. Make it clear, so that he may run who reads it. So that we can read it and then we can run with God. And this morning I want to encourage you. If you're part of this body, if you're part of this family, familiarize yourself with what I'm going to say in the next few minutes about what is the mandate that God has given us. Yes, we know we need to make disciples of all the nations, and as we see in the Great Commissions, the Great Commission. And that's a good place to start, and obviously that is it's what we're doing. And that's, if you look at what our vision is, it's basically the same, but we just kind of break it down a little bit. But familiarize yourself with this, because this is not something that some pastor sat down on a Sunday morning and had a quick think and then decided this sounds cool and let's write this down. This is something that was birthed in prayer and really something that we believe this is what God has imparted to us as a family, as a body. And if we believe we are part of it, and if this is our family, if this is my family, that means that this is not only something nice somebody wrote down. This means that as long as I am called to be a part of this family, this vision that God has held before us, this mandate that he's given us, is very much that what my life centers around. Are you with me this morning? I pursue a career and I have a family and all those things, but the reality is, as long as I'm in this family, the vision and the core values and who God has called us to be as a family is at the center of my relationship with God and of my pursuing his purpose. Okay. A while ago we had that word and we were ministering around the unity of the Spirit. And it's so important for us to, as a family, to be in agreement about this. You know, have you ever tried, have you ever played that game? How does it work? Everybody's blindfolded and I can't remember. But, you know, if you have to kind of go with somebody or hold hands, or that game where you get tied together to other people, don't worry about it. Say again? Possibly. But the point is, you know, you get people going in different directions, but trying to accomplish the same thing but going in different directions is chaos. Okay? And so it's very important for us to have a unity of the Spirit, have an understanding, have an agreement around what has God called us to do, where has he called us to go, and how are we going to get there. Okay. The name Shofar always gets an interesting response. People want to say, "So what? You know, what is that?" And the different spelling when you get mail, it's always fascinating to see how people spell it that heard it over the phone. have had very interesting versions. The name is it's the Hebrew word for the ceremonial ram's horn that we read of in the Old Testament, or mostly in the Old Testament. It's, if you read trumpet in the Old Testament, often this is the word, shofar. It was a ram's horn used for various things. I'm talking about the name because it's important to understand what the name means. And in the same way that it's critical for you and I to understand what our own name means, and when we name our children, we take time out to do that. We pray, because this is something that is so much a part of who that person is going to be, because you're pronouncing this name over this person the whole time. It's important to us to understand where we're coming from. When Jesus was he was constantly challenged when he was on the earth, constantly questioned, constantly his authority was taken into question. And one of his responses was so powerful. He said, "I know where I'm coming from, and I know where I'm going to." He was so clear about where he was coming from, who sent him, and where he was going, what his mandate was. And even though everybody was coming against him and he had so much opposition, he could stay the course. He could be confident and steadfast in what God had called him to do, because he had this knowledge of where he was coming. Even though in society where he grew up, he was illegitimate, if you think about it. And in those days, it was quite serious. You know, he was conceived before his parents were married. You know, his mom, he was told everybody about the Holy Spirit. I mean, but who's going to believe that? You know, so he had quite a tough time growing up in terms of this being ostracized by the community. But still, he had this confidence because he knew where he was coming from and he knew where he was going to. Okay, so it's a ceremonial ram's horn, blown into the trumpet. It symbolizes the strength of the Lord and his dominion. The symbolic significance of the ram's horn is kind of conveyed in how it was used in the Old Testament. So we see there's different uses for it. The one was to summons the nation to come to war. Okay, so it's a mobilizing of saints to go to war and to respond to the call of God, mobilizing God's army, going on the offensive. And very much for us as well, part of who we are, mobilizing, keeping in step with what God is doing. The shofar was also blown to announce times and seasons. So if there was a change in season or a change in a dispensation, it was used to announce that. And if you read from Galatians 5, verse 25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." This is from the NIV. And this is very much a part of what God has called us, to be in step with what the Holy Spirit is doing. And therefore, that you'll find often, and I've found this many times, Fred will be preaching on something specific, and we would be encouraged, if we weren't at the service, to listen to this word, because it's a prophetic word for a specific season, and we'd go and kind of work through it. And then I'll get to some kind of a conference, and then a preacher from the other side of the world, a few weeks later or a few months later, come to a conference, preacher from the other side of the world will be bringing the same message. So very much, we've been called to announce seasons and to have a prophetic mantle in that. And it was also used, the ram's horn was also used to anoint people. So what they used to do is block the one end and then use it as a pitcher for anointing oil. So kings of the Old Testament and prophets were anointed like this. They were anointed and consecrated for service, consecrated unto God for his use, specifically set apart. If you look at the word consecration, set apart for God's exclusive use. So that's a very much part of our identity, set apart, consecrated for God's exclusive use. And then also anointing speaks of divine enablement. Okay, we speak of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we speak of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and very much part of what we believe or what God has called us is to be by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, consecrated unto Him, unto His purpose, to pursue what He has called us to do. And then also, shofar was blown to celebrate, and to celebrate festivities and celebration. Okay, I want to show a video clip. It was a bit longer than I remembered, but it's definitely a key to what we're discussing. It's amazing when you look at relationship, and that's what I'm talking about, is when relationship with the body of Christ. That's something I've experienced myself, where before being actually slotted in, before being planted in the church, being established in a small group and in that kind of accountability relationship, I had great relationships with believers, okay, in general, yes, and with believers and friendships, etc. But the change that I experienced when I experienced godly relationship in the context of pursuing purpose together was massive. The shift from having a acquaintance or a friendship and a kind of a casual, yes, you know, we do stuff together, which is nothing wrong with that, but godly friendship, godly covenant relationship that we speak about here is always in the context of pursuing the purpose of God together, going somewhere together. And that's what makes us so powerful, in a place where we position ourselves to a place where we are, and we invite people to hold us accountable, and we hold somebody else accountable, and we position ourselves in a place where we can indeed pursue that kind of relationship, which isn't just having a coffee together, but it's something that is around not so much sentiment, but around the purpose and the glory of God. Okay, I'm running out of time, but I want to quickly just, as I've mentioned them a little bit already, I'm just going to quickly look at our purpose statement and our core values very briefly. But I want to really encourage you, if this is new to you, these that I'm going to mention now, familiarize with yourself with them, because I believe this is at the core of what God has called us to be. And if you're part of this family, for you too. Okay, our purpose statement is to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. So we look beyond our local community. We look at nations beyond. That's why we go all over the world in terms of missions. Next week, hopefully, I'll remember to bring up. We've got some beautiful booklets of missions feedback from all the teams that have gone out from last year. Just to encourage you for the teams we're going to send out next year. So we're looking at nations, we're looking at generations. So at least in this congregation, we already have different generations represented, and that's what we're trusting God for, to reach not only a certain demographic, but to reach generations. And then a big part of what we believe we are called to do is to develop leaders and to plant churches. So again, we're making disciples, and we're raising up leaders, but we're going somewhere. We're trusting God to go to nations and to plant churches. Okay, and then in terms of core values, just very briefly, I'm just going to run through these. The first one, passion for Jesus. You can read the little summary there. Passion speaks of a love for Jesus, the Father's emphatic, blazing love to and through us. This love lends legitimacy to who we are and what we do. Basically coming from the place of the fact that Christ loved us first. Everything that we do and everything that we are comes from the fact that Jesus loved us first, and that we now can reciprocate, and we can respond to that love. We can respond to how God demonstrates His love towards us through His Son. And then people to serve. People are our core business. To serve them flows naturally from this passion. Leadership happens when we commit to serve and grow others. And Johnny mentioned this last week, Romans 5 verse 5. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts. And it's from that point, it's from that love that we have received, that we can now serve the people around us. Freely we have received, now we can freely give. and leadership happens. Your true leadership, biblically, is when we lead by serving others. And then power of belief. Power is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Profound belief sustains this inspiration and makes for change, growth, and accomplishment. In Romans 4:23, Paul writes that he says what talking about and eating certain things and not eating certain things, and he's talking about festivals and stuff. But it basically ends there, it says everything that is not of faith, that doesn't come from a conviction, is sin. And that is what we're trusting God to walk in, a place where we live from a point of conviction. That where I don't come go to small group because it's just another thing. I go to small group. I see Pastor Fred was still mentioning cell groups, which we moved away from that term because it confused some people. But I don't go to small group because it's just another thing. I go there because there's a conviction in my heart that this is the will of God. I don't come to church on a Sunday morning because there's nice coffee afterwards, or there's nice fellowship, which there is as well, which is great. But I go because I have a conviction that this is part of what God has called me to do. And I have a conviction that He's called me. So living from a place of conviction, living from a place of being empowered by the Holy Spirit to actually act on that conviction. Purpose to pursue. Purpose is an inheritance everyone has from God. It is uniquely crafted, person-specific progression of assignments. Finding and engaging it brings the reward of ultimate affirmation. And we've mentioned that before, that place of relationship around the purpose of God, pursuing the purpose of God together. And a big thing for me as well, coming into a body of Christ, is being in an environment where others around me are also trusting God for His purpose to come to pass in my life, are standing with me, and not, you know, it's not only about the me and myself and I. It's very much okay, His will, it's very much His purpose and His glory. And having somebody that can pursue that together with me, and having somebody that can hold me accountable to what God is calling me to do. Amen. If you want to stand with me this morning, we're going to close with just a quote from Reinhard Bonnke to encourage us. Thanks for your patience this morning. Reinhard Bonnke, he mentions and he says that the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is not a pleasure boat, but it's a lifeboat for saving souls, and every hand is needed on deck. And I could have tried it in a German accent just to give it the effect, but he's talking about us often falling into a trap of church and fellowship and things around church becoming a social club and becoming a nice social event. Whereas the body of Christ, and often in Scripture we see pictures of the army of God, and we see us being compared to, we see it talking of a battle and of armor, and very much a bit of an intense picture, not like a vacation type of picture. And I don't know if it's a wake-up call for some of us this morning, but I want to end with this specifically because the purpose what we are pursuing together is that of saving souls, is that of making disciples, and is that of seeing the kingdom of God established in our own lives, in our community, and in the lives of every person that we come across. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this time and Your presence this morning, God. And as a family in Christ this morning, we thank You, Father, that You love us so much that You sent Your Son, Lord. And that You love us so much, Lord, that You do not leave us in darkness, God, but by Your Holy Spirit that You gave us a mandate, You gave us the Great Commission, Lord. And You helped us as a body, as a movement, to break this down into practical core values and a vision that we have received from You, Father. And I thank You, Lord, that as we make it visible, and as we read it and look at it, Lord, I thank You for a boldness to run with it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank You this morning that as we go from this place, I thank You for an urgency that You put in our hearts, and a boldness to respond to that urgency, Father, to run with the vision that You've given us, to run with the mandate that You've entrusted to us, Lord. Lord, I thank You for every one of us here, and I thank You, Lord, wherever we are. And I sense that we are so diverse in this place this morning, and I feel there's somebody, there's maybe one or two people that feel, but There's so many things I have to sort out in my life. How can I pursue the purpose of God? I've so many hurts. There's so many things that are still out of place. And I just sense God is saying, as you pursue, as you build His house, He will build your house. As you pursue His kingdom, and I've experienced it personally as well, as you pursue His kingdom, He will deliver and He will heal and He will save to the uttermost. Father, and we thank You for that, Lord. And we thank You for every person here, that wherever we are, whatever we're dealing with, we thank You that as we seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness, that You will add all these other things. And I thank You, Lord, that as we go from this place, I thank You for an opening of our eyes to see again Your purpose, to fix our eyes on the vision and to run with You, Lord. That it be to Your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.